Century Initiatives update with Kevin and Tom.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler. Kevin Roblin here, Deputy Secretary with Game Fish and Parks. Just wanted to give you a brief update, kind of where we're at with the Second Century Initiative. And the first thing I wanted to talk about was the bounty program. We are into July now, just 2 months left, the remaining portion of July and then August. The program does cease the 31st of August, so we're approaching that here in a month and, well, 20 days or so. So far, we had 32,000, just over 32,000 tails submitted to the bounty program. That was as of about 15 minutes ago, and 3,246 participants have turned in tails. So we continue to see participation climb. We did slow down a little bit from where we started as far as the amount of tails coming in, the rate of tails coming in, I should say. So that has slowed a little bit. But again, that hot summer, those hot summer days and other summer activities, I think, are more of a priority at this time, potentially. But we are still seeing good participation, and we're happy to see that. The other portion of the Second Century Initiative update I wanted to give here with you this afternoon is the hunt for habitat. We actually just started selling raffle licenses on July 1st. Those licenses are available on our website. Again, that's for those three packages of three big game animals, one elk, one antelope, and then one deer. And then you have a 10th license that is for a CSP bison. So those are for sale. We're hoping to have a significant amount of folks put in those raffle licenses by mid-August, and we're going to do the first drawing actually already August 19th, I believe the tentative date is. So that's going to be here before we know it. Our communications team has been marketing that, and the outreach efforts have been continuous there. I'm sure most of you maybe have seen some of the targeted emails. We're going to do some more press releases, those sorts of things, because our window here to really advertise this opportunity is going to be short, and we really want to make sure folks are aware of the opportunity to submit raffle licenses, or they're essentially raffle tickets to maybe get a hunt of a lifetime, if you will. So with that, the other component of our Second Century update here this morning is going to be on the habitat aspect of things. I'm going to turn that over to Tom Kirschman here.
Good afternoon, Commissioners and Secretary Hepler. Tom Kirschman, Wildlife Division Deputy Director. Real briefly to give you an update on the Second Century Working Lands Habitat Program. Availability for sign-up or enrollment by producers, landowners has been in place for approximately 3 weeks right now. As of the 1st of July, obviously we did not have any contracts come in over the holiday weekend. We had seven individuals that have enrolled up to that point for a total of 406 acres. What I find interesting, and I think will be interesting with this, not knowing exactly going into the program itself what size of acreages would be enrolled by landowners, there was probably more of an expectation of smaller acres versus larger acres, because they're really going to be focusing on marginal cropland to be converting over to habitat again. When you look at the size of contracts that come in, the average size right now is 58 acres, and which is really fantastic to hear from a habitat standpoint. The bigger the acreage, the bigger the habitat size, probably the more meaningful and impactful from a habitat standpoint for wildlife out there. So that's been really encouraging to see. I will share with you that we did host a conference call a week ago with the Pheasants Forever Farm Bill biologists just to get a feeling of what their conversations are with landowners, producers out there. Still, the interest remains high out there from individuals. What we have experienced over the last couple weeks in particular were probably two main things. Number one, a lot of those landowners, producers were busy trying to get any type of planting in the ground that they could here at the very end. And some of those folks were busy and scrambling doing that. And number two, another common theme that those farm bill biologists heard from some producers were they're still weighing their options and looking at this because it is brand new type of a program. And a lot of those farm bill biologists said that's not unusual when you have a new type of program out there. It takes a little bit to get momentum going. Folks are looking at it, weighing their options. Again, there is the CRP enrollment out there right now as well. But even that, with those remaining continuous CRP acres, that is going somewhat slow again, just because of the timing and what those producers were doing out there the last 3 weeks. If they were able to be in the field and get that potential last crop in the ground, that's what they were focused on and busy doing. So so from that standpoint, those enrollments, we'll continue to promote that. Not only our staff are getting the word out there from our field staff, our habitat biologists and the conservation officers, but also the farm bale biologists and our other partners spreading the word out there about habitat programs availability. And the last fact that I'll just share with you on those enrollments so far, those have come from four different counties, and interesting enough, they're all adjacent counties from Beetle, Girald, and Minor County. So in that central to south central, again, kind of in that, in between that Huron, Mitchell, Chamberlain area, which again would not surprise us from the standpoint of saline soils, marginal acres, and the concept of having a working lands program where they could use with livestock in their operation as well. So not a surprise where some of those enrollments are coming from. So that's some statistics, some things going on right now with the enrollment of the program itself. One last thing that I'll share certainly is that there's been discussion around the geographic area where enrollments are taking place with the program. And when it was set up and implemented out there, the geographic area for enrollment included eastern South Dakota and then five counties in the south central part of the state. When you look at that, that's essentially what most of us would consider that quote-unquote primary pheasant range within the state. So that has generated some discussion, and there's been some questions asked and looking at that. And so we actually are in the process right now of putting together some recommended adjustments to that program from the standpoint of eligibility of geographic area and move that to a statewide basis so that those landowners slash producers in some of those western counties of the state that would have marginal cropland that they would be interested in converting to habitat would have that opportunity to enroll in the program as well. And then the second part that we are working on and looking at is some potential enhancements to the walk-in area program to provide some additional incentives or spark some additional interest for producers that may be interested in enrolling the land that they do enroll in the working lands program into the access program, which is our walk-in area program as well. Just again, to provide that opportunity, provide some additional incentives to that. We're working on those final pieces and discussions around that. It would fit within the walk-in area program, but have some additional incentives for these particular properties to hopefully get some landowners that might be interested in rolling in the access program and make it available to the public to hunt on as well. So those are two key adjustments that we are working on right now, and we'll go through those steps and discussions for implementation. Here at this level and across the state and with the Habitat Fund Board and put that in place to implement as soon as we can. So that, Mr. Chair, I'd sure try to answer any questions you may have relative to that.
And the map that you're talking about, we're going to see that here in a couple minutes with another presentation and people can ask questions, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, anybody else have any questions at this point? No? Okay, thank you. So now we're on to non-meandered waters.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler, Kevin Roblin here again, Deputy Secretary with Game, Fish, and Parks. Just wanted to give you a brief update on non-meandered waters. Again, we're at just under 3,000 acres closed to date. This number has not changed over the last few months. I did want to touch base, though, on the Adopt-a-Lake events. We had five events here just last June, in this last month of June here, scattered mostly in eastern South Dakota. We had one Adopt-a-Lake event, West River, that was back in April. But we do have a couple more Adopt-a-Lake events scheduled for July, and I've really tasked staff to reach that goal of at least 10 Adopt-a-Lake events this year to make sure this program continues to grow, and that is exactly what it's doing. So great community support. We got an Adopt-a-Lake trailer, has some neat decals on it. So there's some growth there and a lot of interest from a lot of organizations, really. People are excited to keep those lakes clean and pristine, and that's the goal of the program. Back to non-meandered waters, Reitz Lake in particular, we had 293 boats launched at the Reitz Lake access point in June. So that was really good use. We're talking almost, a couple boats a day at minimum, and that's good to see, great to see. One thing we do have going for us up in the Northeast, at least the reports I've been getting, have fish been cooperating. They're biting fairly well up in the Northeast and in the Southeast for that matter. So hopefully fishing continues to be good throughout the summer, and people take advantage of those opportunities, because there are a ton of opportunities on non-meandered waters and meandered waters to date. A lot of waters remain open, most waters remain open, and again, only less than 2% of those waters have been marked closed. So come and enjoy those fisheries, and make sure to take advantage of those opportunities. With that, are there any questions on the non-meandered water update?
No questions, so we can move on to